So when you were a child, did you try to find the presents you knew your parents were buying for you and had stashed away somewhere? How many of you looked in the cupboard, the closet, the basement, the attic, the garage, the shop, the barn, wherever you thought your mother or perhaps your father might just possibly have hidden some or all those gifts you desperately hoped they had bought for you? Maybe you'd made a list of the things you thought you really wanted and given it to them. I certainly looked around. I know that for several years it was sort of a half-hearted attempt, like I didn't really want to find them. But one year I did. I found them. I have no memory of what the presents were, but I know exactly which closet they were in and which house they were in. They were in the closet of my parents' bedroom, high up on the shelf. I was in junior high when I lived in that house. It must have been close to Christmas, for there was quite a stash. They were not yet wrapped, so I could easily see what they were. It was a letdown, I discovered. Not at all the exciting secret I had thought it would be. I had to pretend to be surprised at the big moment on Christmas Eve when we opened them. Given how well I can't pretend now, I imagine my trouble had no trouble figuring out what had happened. I see from our friend Amber Strassel's blog that the search for good hiding places continues. Her daughter, Hannah, is old enough now to have prying eyes and fingers. Amber tells the story of how, over the past few years, her hiding places have had to move from the bedside table to a middle shelf in the closet to the trunk of the car. But it's getting full, and Hannah has to be held off when the groceries need to be retrieved from the trunk. I noticed she didn't say where the presents are this year. Gifts are a big part of Christmas for many of us, of whatever age. We spend a lot of time thinking about what we want, perhaps especially when we're younger. As we get older, we spend more time figuring out just who we have to buy or make presents for, and how much we have available to spend, and how much we think we need to spend. How are we going to afford all this? We wonder what makes an appropriate gift for this person. The queries go on and on. It's no wonder that some of us spend all year figuring out the puzzle. And it's also no wonder that some put it off until the very last minute, Christmas Eve. Or opt out of gift giving altogether. I did that mostly for a few years. I think I couldn't figure out all the rules that go along with the gift-giving ritual, so I bought presents for Al, and that was all. It played to my frugal side, not my generous side, I know, but I didn't have sufficient courage to reformulate the rules to my liking, and maybe I didn't know how. I wonder if you can remember any of those rules for gift-giving that I couldn't figure out. You know, those rules that say who you give to and what it should be worth and when you give it to them and all that. Margaret Visser, in her book The Gift of Thanks, speaks to some of these reasons and ways of giving gifts and returning the favor. Actually, she reiterates what my Facebook friends, especially our president Sue, know well. Sue says, you have to gift immediate family members. If you're helpful, you will send out a list in advance to make the shopping easier. But it should be a surprise. It must be relevant to the person receiving it. And it must be done at Christmas time, even if you gift at other times too. Adults are not as important to give to as are the children. And I just realized this morning that we sent off the packages and the only one I didn't give a gift to was the kid. You know, the 6-8-month-old kid. Visser, as anthropologist, says that gifts are an anomaly, an object that is more than the commodity it appears to be on the surface. True, it has been purchased. It has a street value. But lurking underneath all of this is the value it has to the recipient, and the value it plays in the ritual exchange of gifts. For gifts are poetic, symbolic, and concrete, not only economic. Giving gifts brings status, which is only regained by the recipient when they reciprocate, and then only in part, Visser says. It is indeed more blessed to give than receive. One gains higher status when giving first. Accepting gifts may seem obligatory, but it is sometimes less than wise. Visser again gives examples. Inmates who manage to smuggle cigarettes into prison and then give them away as favors buy power with that. Accepting these gifts brought danger. How many women have been warned about, don't take gifts from that guy. He'll expect favors, sexual favors, in return for the fancy dinner and mink coat. I've never been offered a mink coat. Visser warns us that not all gifts are equal, and some do come with strings. How this all works on the ground is endlessly fascinating to social scientists. When can one refuse a gift? How do you reciprocate? Of course, it depends on your culture and your class within the culture. The rules of manners will tell you if you can sense all those nuances. Sue continues. A few more rules I have learned from TV. Gifts mean love. No gift means he doesn't love you. The more expensive the gift, the more he loves you. The more expensive the gift, the more they will be indebted to you. The more presents under the tree, the better. Auntie always sends pajamas. You're never too old for stocking stuffers, and traditions are important. If you don't have them, make them. Another rule that I would add, you're supposed to display anything that's vaguely displayable, most especially if that giver comes to visit. Visser reminds us that gift giving is ritualized. There are quasi-ritual words that you speak when the gifts are given, gestures, manner. We wrap up the gifts, and the fancier the wrappings and the bigger the bow, the better. Should we have to mail the gifts, we wrap it up twice, once in fancy paper and once in stronger paper to protect the fancy paper. It's no wonder my sister has been scandalized by my token or absent gifts. And when they were wrapped, they were often wrapped in this week's color comics. I thought I was just trying to save paper. But I was also breaking the gift-giving protocol, and my sister, if anything else, knows the rules. I didn't understand. I wanted to get away from all those implied shoulds, I guess. Visser states it clearly. Most gifts are given to known others. They serve to maintain links already forged, but which would weaken should gift-giving cease. The work of a gift is tracing the link, as a person walking travels along an existing road. The object follows a trajectory that is a tie between two people. Or else, it is a first attempt at a tie, as a lasso might be thrown across a chasm as the first stage in constructing a bridge. She continues, giving a gift in return retraces the trajectory already performed. The return is the completion of the ritual. For the ritual is unfinished without the reciprocal act. Our gift makes manifest our social and perhaps blood relationships, or our attempt to create new ones. This year, I did send off gifts to my brother and sister and my sister's children. It's the children's children, I forgot. What to give them has come to me quite spontaneously, and it's been fun. The ritual of gift giving and gift returning has contradictions within it. We give away something of value, but we gain by doing so. Some of us wonder if gifts can ever be given freely, that is, without expectation of something in return. Givers who suggest that they want nothing in return are not really telling the truth, Visser says, because it is impossible to not get something in return. At the very least, the connection is changed, however slightly. and the giver and or the recipient gain some pleasure or self-satisfaction as a result. Visser reminds us that the gifts may be assistance of some kind, whether advice or information or generally some kind of favor. Requesting such help from an unknown person opens up a relationship. Perhaps this is part of the psychology of asking advice from potential places of employment, places where you would like to work. Someone might just feel the need to reciprocate your gift of acknowledging their expertise with a job offer. Indeed, intangible gifts were the object of most of my Facebook advice, as in, don't get caught in the consumer rat race. Food, fellowship, and handmade items were more important to my friends. One was adamant, saying it twice, stay away from the mall. The best gifts are ones chosen carefully to match the needs and wants of the recipient. Special things that fill a need, like clothes for the new traveler. Ordinary clothes, says Visser, though, are for the lazy, unless the recipients are children who grow so much that they always need new clothes. Boy, these rules get more and more nuanced. Other gifts that interested my friends were things like a goat for someone in a developing country who needed one. Such gifts of yourself, your thought about the recipient, some bit of work either searching for or making the gift, freely given, are the kind of gifts we most yearn for, I believe. Such gifts allow for an opening of the heart, for they are an offering of yourself. Think about Dr. Seuss's Grinch, who needed his heart to expand 3 sizes before he could enjoy Christmas, or Charles Dickens' version of the same story, Mr. Scrooge. They each needed to effect a transformation during the darkest hours of the night of the year to come back to the light of day a changed person. They needed to connect with the people around them, to come out of their isolation. They found that doing so was a more joyful way of being, much to their surprise. As the Grinch says, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe it really is something more. Each of them was reborn and happy to share gifts and wealth. Each was happy to connect with family and friends in this new to them way. Perhaps what we yearn for most at this time of the year, these darkest days that lead into New Year's reflections and hope for the future, perhaps what we yearn for most is a sense of clarity that illuminates what it is we are doing and why. An internal sense of caring that guides us all year long. We need a reason to give gifts. We have a reason to give those gifts. We need those connections they imply because we cannot live alone. The story is told about a foreigner who was getting ready to go home after long years of service in a faraway land. As people gathered on that last day to give their farewells to this beloved woman who had served so faithfully, they brought gifts to express their gratitude. One man presented her with a shell whose appearance was entirely unremarkable. The woman recognized it as a shell that could only be found in an area several weeks' journey away. When she commented about this to the man, his reply was, "The journey is part of the gift." Some people distinguish between presents and gifts. Presents are the sorts of things that fit on lists, complete with size and color preference. Presents are the sorts of things we are smart enough to ask for. Gifts are different. We don't think to ask for them, perhaps because we don't think we deserve them, or we don't want to be vulnerable enough to express our need, or maybe we don't even recognize the need in ourselves. Gifts differ in that they represent something greater, something deeper, something more enduring. They are about love, respect, and affirmation. Gifts might be worked into a token like the special shell or a handmade tree ornament. Sometimes their significance can be missed in the rush and the splendor of our consumer culture. Such genuine gifts, I believe, reflect our theology. Gifts make the connections among us and make real our interdependent web of creation. It is the spark of connection, of goodness between us that makes our world special and real. The spark of connection among many different folk makes our life meaningful and fulfilling. That's what we are really looking for when we seek our parents' hiding spots. We intuitively sense the love and care that has gone into their selection. We want to know what they know about us, truly, deeply know. I encourage you this year to give more gifts than presents and hold the camouflage to a minimum. I wonder if you can be gift bearers yourselves. Give yourself along with the presents, and look carefully for the gifts others are trying to give you. Have yourself a Merry Christmas. Amen. Blessed be you.